Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Tune in. Tune in.
A very pleasant good morning to all the listeners of Q95, both here and abroad. It is already the 20th of January, 2021. This morning we got quite a few showers, but right now I see that the skies are clearing. Hopefully for the rest of the day, we will have a brighter sunshine, but I'm sure that the farmers, you know, are very happy, you know, for the showers of blessings this morning. So welcome to another program of Health Vibes from Jolly's Pharmacy. My name is Jacinta Fagan Defoe, and with me is my co-host, Mr. Edgar John Baptist. Good morning to you, Mr. Edgar.
Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners out there. Good morning to all the listeners locally, regionally, internationally. And good morning to the Jolly's family and all my family and friends and like extension, everyone in Dominica. Pleasant good morning.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we are to be grateful for life and breath, for seeing another day. Today is a very important day in the U.S. as President Joe Biden is being sworn in as the 46th President of the United States, and Kamala Harris, Vice President, made history, the first female vice president of the U.S. I'm sure, you know, people will be watching in, you know, to see the process of this very important day for them. And I'm sure security would have been heightened, you know, just in case. And you understand why. So Jolly's is always extending, you know, their services to you. And I just want to encourage everyone that we have an online avenue where you can place your orders, you can shop online. It's on www.jollys.dm. So you pay as you would normally pay for a purchase online. And when you come in within the next hour, you will collect your items upstairs. So you don't go in the store directly, you go upstairs, and that's on the main branch of Jolly's Pharmacy on King George Street by the old market. So you place your orders, you pay online, and within an hour of purchasing, you come down and you go straight upstairs to the reception area to collect your items. So at the convenience of your home, if you live close by, at your workplace and so forth, you have that option. We're also, you know, listening to the new strains of COVID-19 that have been discovered. And I'm sure everyone worldwide is paying very, very close attention to that new strain and what it means for the rest of the world. So keep tuned to that for sure. And hopefully we will get new updates as the time goes forth. Today we're going to have a packed show. I'm still waiting on my guest to arrive, but today's focus is on childhood anger, a very timely topic, and I'm sure there are parents, schools, different institutions who have had at one point to deal with a situation where a child may be displaying that type of emotion, probably out of hand and not able to deal with it. So this is our topic for today. And while we await for our guest to arrive, we'll just take a short break.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
Okay, welcome back. And if you're now tuning in, you are listening to Health Vibes every Wednesday from 10:15 to 11:30, a program brought to you by Jolly's Pharmacy. So, my guest has arrived. He's a very, very busy individual. So he had another engagement prior to us this morning. So our guest is none other than Mr. Thomas Holmes. And I will let you in on something. He is currently my lecturer for a course I am taking from UWE Open Campus, and that's Introduction to Counseling. So he's my teacher, and I hope I'm a great student. So good morning to you, Mr. Holmes.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to Jolly's Pharmacy and crew and to our listeners.
Nice. Tell us a little about who you are and, you know, your experience.
Anyway, you let us a secret about me, so I'll not let out your secret. But what I can say, what I'd like to say before tonight is that she's an excellent student.
Thank you.
Excellent. And she deserves everything. Okay. Nice. I am a guidance counselor by profession. Mm-hmm. And I'm also the present chairperson of Family Empowerment Movement. Nice. Mm-hmm. And that is an organization that we, the Introduction to Counseling students at UWE, formed. And then soon the public will be hearing a lot about us. We were kind of on the soft side because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But we have a general membership meeting coming up next month. And then we have quite a number of activities planned. So we're going to be back in
business.
Yes. So, and also, as you mentioned, I'm also a tutor at UWE. But it's not presently, but before I used to be the local tutor for the master's program in mm-hmm. counseling. And that was from 2005 up to a couple of years ago. And now I'm presently doing the introduction to counseling. And I must say, before I had my session, I was sitting in the gardens just writing my speech. I have a speech I have to give tonight. So I was writing my speech, and I'm just talking about confidentiality, you know, which is one of the main things I do as a counselor. Mm-hmm. And that is what I'm trying to instill in my students.
Right.
And then as a counselor, I work a number of years with the Ministry of Education as the counselor for the Western District. And I'm going to pass back to you because our topic that we have has a lot to do with my work in the schools.
All right, well said. And let me just take the opportunity to say hello to my class.
I know they're
the
listening.
Students listening. So hello to you, and we will meet this evening for our ceremony. So hello to all of you listening.
Yeah. And I also want to say hello to the other counseling classes, especially the executive. I cannot call all the names. The executive for FEM Inc. I know they're listening. Mm-hmm. And also the class we had last year with Martin Roberts and company. Hey.
Very nice. So, right. So, as I stated before we took the break, our focus today is on childhood anger. And many times, well, everyone experiences that emotion at some point in time. But sometimes it is uncontrolled. Sometimes we're not sure as to the reason why there are irrational outbursts and how it can be controlled. And so Mr. Holmes is here today to let us in as to what he has seen in that regard. He has worked with various schools as well and different other institutions with other professionals. And I'm sure there are parents listening right now that may have a child who is going through a phase, who is constantly very angry, bursting out right at either at them or at their teachers, at their peers, and it is causing some problem, relationships at home and, you know, with their associates as well. Yeah. So, Mr. Holmes, tell me, with your experience, walk us through some of the causes of childhood anger based on who you have dealt with and your different institutions and so forth.
Yeah. If you don't mind, let me just walk back a little.
No problem.
Just to give the definition for anger. Then anger is natural, because many people believe anger is something terrible, demonic, and so on. Once you're angry, you're no good. No. Anger can be helpful, or at the same time, it can be very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And very often, when you look at anger, we look at the unhealthy part of anger. And then, those sometimes unwanted or irrational emotions and so, you know, lead to the anger. Now, when you're talking about anger, we have to differentiate between two things. Between anger itself and something called angst, A-N-G-S-T. And then I'm not sure how many people would know, Bernard Golden is a PhD psychologist. And then in a book, he wrote something and he said, angst deals with anxiety, dread, or apprehension about the future, while anger is about what happened or what should have happened. So the angst is something like the anxiety of what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then an example he gave. Let us say that a student is taking an examination, right? You have, let's say, a third former, fourth former, mm-hmm. or even fifth former. And then, you know, when he is very apprehensive, very moody about what may happen, you know, and then preparing, you know, not sure. Mm-hmm. If all goes well, he or she passes, no problem. But if, let's say, when they take the exam and then they fail it and they fail it badly, that's where anger comes in. Mm-hmm. So the angst is preparation, getting ready for it. You're not sure, you're anxious. But then when you take the exam and you fail, then anger, and that's where the outburst comes in. Now, one of the things you ask about the causes and so. When we look at anger, you know, sometimes we try to find out what is causing a young person.
The root of it.
Yes, an mm-hmm. older person, an adult, you can see they live their lives and, you know, people get them. But a youngster, even sad to see, even a child, a grade one, and then we even seen it in preschool, early childhood, children come out and then they have tantrums and so on. What I usually tell, I'm just going to call out a few things that trigger that type of anger. And then, that may not be number one, but this has a lot to do with it. Domestic violence at home. Mm-hmm. Children are seeing that their parents, especially their mothers, getting beat by either their father or their mom's partner or whoever. Mm-hmm. These children cannot or may not or not able to retaliate. They may say something, but then they may not retaliate in a physical manner. Mm. When they go to school, that's when they do it. If it's a man, now by the way, I said the mom, there's some males, I mean, if carry man, so there's some males who are being abused by women, but I'm not going to go through that. Though this has a lot to do with physical anger.
Right.
Now, so when you have domestic violence and the child sees this happened to her mother or her father, his mother, his father, cannot do anything about it. The child has the power to go in the school, as you would say, Kurishan, pass on to others. And that is where bullying will come in, right? So they bully others because they cannot bully the person who's doing that to their parent. And another thing that triggers anger, child abuse. And then we have especially three of them, physical, sexual, and emotional. And you can also have neglect. I always say to teachers in training, don't expect a child to get 100% in a test or some kind of evaluation, and this child came to school without breakfast. The child has no snack. The child doesn't know how he or she is going to get lunch.
That's it.
And then you expect this child to get 100%. So that is where the neglect comes in. Sometimes the neglect is not deliberate. Sometimes the parents just do not have anything to give the child. And then there are some schools I've been at during my years in the schools where we ask the schools through the cafeteria to give this child something.
Too easy. Mm-hmm.
So the physical abuse is, and the sexual, you know, the two worst parts, especially the physical. When a child is being physically abused, I mean, this child has to vent. The child can do two things, being withdrawn or being physical with others.
Lash out.
Being withdrawn is even worse. I always maintain, or again in training, I tell teachers, I rather deal with a student who is loud, who is fighting. I know what to look for.
Yes.
But the child who is withdrawn sits at the back of the class. That is when you're talking about depression. That is where you're talking about suicide ideation and so on. So I've dealt with all this. So now the other one, the sexual part. When you have, most of the time is males. There are females who do that to, you know, younger ones. But most of the time, males. I can recall I went to a certain school. And then this grade 5 students was being molested by a bus driver. Right? And then she was threatened. If you tell anybody, I will not give your mother any more money for your school.
Wow.
Well, the thing is, what I found out, the mother was actually receiving that money.
So right? Prostituting.
Thank you very
basically.
Much. So that is what I say to them. That is the first stage of prostitution. Right? You, the mother, allowing that to happen to your daughter. And then, in addition to this, she was getting something from the man. Right? Other than being sexually abused. What she was getting is, believe it or not, 25 cents to buy ice pop at break time.
Can you imagine that?
Let me tell you, when I heard that story, I couldn't keep it. I went out of that school, went in my vehicle, all of them at welfare know my voice. I called at welfare and I told them.
Oh my
God. And within minutes, I must see welfare responded to that situation. Right? And then I don't want to go too much because, as you know, in counseling, there's confidentiality.
Of
so I don't want to, you know, go on the verge. But these are the things that cause anger. So a child going through all this, do not expect the child to come and then just sit in the classroom. Or do not expect the child to be at home and then just take in everything and then pretend nothing is happening. Sooner or later, the child will react. And the way the child is going to react is in anger.
Definitely.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
I have a few more, so I don't know if you have anything, if you want me to continue.
We will go through all of them, trust me. But it's quite saddening, you know, when you hear of those different situations.
Mm-hmm.
And before we continue, I mean, you may be wondering why, you know, on a health program we're speaking about childhood anger. But when a child experiences that type of emotion where it affects them in so many ways, it can also affect their health.
Yeah.
So it can affect them physically.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you may realize a child is frequently suffering from migraines. So much is they have to process, so much is going through their mind. They are, the entire body is under stress. So their immune system can be compromised as well. Mm-hmm. Their digestive system can be compromised. You know, that their whole entire body, mentally, physically, becomes unstable. They may mm-hmm. suffer depression. Depression on its own is a disorder that has to be dealt with separately.
And you know, sorry to cut you short. As you mentioned, there were depression. You know what depression can lead to? Very
exactly.
often.
Yeah. Suicide. Definitely.
And that's where many people don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to look back and then see people who commit suicide, you'll know or you'll notice that you went through a phase of depression.
Exactly, precisely.
I'll never forget something that happened 2 years ago. The actor, I can't remember his name. I keep forgetting his name.
Robin Williams?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He committed suicide. And then I think his family came out and said that he was in depression for a long period. And many of our children mm-hmm. go through that.
Believe it or not.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you see, when you talk about depression, and you're quite right, that is one of the most foremost health, that we have to look at. You know, health-wise, how it is triggering, you know, what a child would do. And not just a child, an adult, mm-hmm. A young adult.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. you find many teenagers, especially between the ages of 11 and 18, 19, mm-hmm. will commit suicide.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know Edgar has quite a lot to add as well, so I'm going to give him a chance, you know, to go through.
Well, yes, well, as it relates to childhood anger, I believe that before we can really help the child, we need to find out the root cause of the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And anger in itself is a quite complex emotion. For some people, anger can completely overpower them, and before the discretionary part of the brain can make them think and make proper judgment. When we get angry, the fight or flight response is initiated. Adrenaline and cortisol are released. Muscles become tight. Your breathing quickens. You hyperventilate.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart rate
increases.
Your blood pressure mm-hmm. increases. You even start to sweat. You feel more energetic. You know, so many health. From my perspective as a public health officer, so many devastating health effects from anger. Blood from our intestinal tract is redirected to our brains, mm-hmm. hands, to our head, hands, legs, you know, making us ready to combat. So frequent anger is a major problem because these chemicals also release fatty acids, which can accumulate in our blood vessels. When that happens, blood flow decreases and, of course, increases the chances of a heart attack. So that kind of anger stemming in a child and traversing it with growing up with that child through adulthood, you can see what will come. You know, the health consequences that will be imparted. So, it just takes a lot of energy being angry.
It's true. I mean, think of us as adults, mm-hmm. Mr. Holmes, as well. When we get angry to a point where we feel we can hit something, and that's why many people have punching bags at home.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
At this, they can release that tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar to children as well.
Mm-hmm.
You may think, oh, they don't have much to worry about, that it's nothing much they're going through or that will pass through. But they have feelings too. And
exactly.
They have needs, they have wants, and they're seeing
mm-hmm.
certain situations occurring. And as you rightfully mentioned, at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the that's where they reside.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they get their needs from and their care from.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are witnessing frequently or ever so often some type of violent scenes, whether it's from their parents, whether it's to a parent and another sibling, or whether they themselves experience that type of abuse,
mm-hmm.
then that is going to radiate through, and probably they may think, okay, that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a child witnessing the father beating up the mother doesn't do anything,
mm-hmm.
she takes her blues, quote unquote. She doesn't report it, her life goes on. that child, let's say if it's a boy, I'm just going to say, we're going to go with both sexes. If it's a boy, growing up, teenager, he gets a girlfriend and they get into an argument. What does he think is going to be the quote-unquote natural way?
Vicious cycle.
That's right.
Yeah.
You understand? And unless he is taught, or unless otherwise he's taught by someone else, or realizes that that type of reaction is wrong and that can hurt someone, he's going to think it's the best thing to do. Or that's the way to go, I should say.
And as you say that there, I'm not sure if I mentioned that during the first semester in continuity, but I've been saying that to all my students. What a child or baby ages 2, 3, 4, what they experience, they may not express it. But when they come to the teenage years from 11, 12 to 18, that's when they're going to express it. And then you'll find that this child habit, and that is why I'm not going to go through all that, but I just mentioned it, psychodynamic, you know? And then you have where, you know, you're going to go through the past, and then you'll find out that many of our young men, some of them in prison, when they're expressing their anger, fighting, shooting, and so on, they would have gone through something when they were 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you're just showing it when they reach that age. You know, two things that causes, you know, let me just put those two. We
go
talk
ahead.
About the domestic violence and so. Another thing that creates that, two areas, and then we have it very, very clear in Dominica. I'm not going to go into details, but not only in Dominica, right now we've seen it in America today, right? The big transition going to happen.
Yes.
Politics and religion.
Okay.
I remember when I was growing up, religion was the thing. If you're not a Catholic, I'm a Catholic, I may be quiet, but the other religion may be affecting you, or you affecting the other religion,
right.
Be it Pentecostal, gospel mission, and so on. Right? Now we don't, there's more tolerance now,
right.
But it's still there. But we see that politics, we are hating. I listened to two other people on another radio station this morning, and then we are hating each other for what? And all what this does is to create or to cause more anger, right? And then, look at, I mean, why would you kill somebody because you do not like the way, the things they believe in?
Exactly, exactly.
You know?
They are
and then all that is anger. And then if we do not check this anger, no, you're a medical personnel, I'm a counselor, so. But usually when a student would come, and then you see the student comes from the class, the teacher sends the student to the office calls me, and then I'm talking. I have to ask them, can you bring me some water for the child?
Hyperventilating, you know,
exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
You know? And then the thing is, as a counselor, you think I'm going to go and tell that student, what happened? Tell me what happened, and you're up. I can't.
Yeah.
You have to help the child. Well, when you're talking about the techniques, we'll come through this.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to, so the part you mentioned about heart attack, that's another area again.
Yeah.
Not just the suicide, but the heart attack,
heart
you know,
attack.
What it can really, another thing is that can cause anger, grief, or sadness, loss of family members, or other loved one.
Definitely.
Because, again, I'm a counselor, so I'm always going to refer to that. You know this one already.
Of course.
Sometimes we did the 5 stages of grief, and then anger is one of them.
Yes.
Denial is the first one. The person dies. There's a hurricane, the person, number of people die, and then your grandmother, your mother, your sibling died. You're going to be angry, right?
Ask
you're going to say, no, I don't believe it. You got to call the person, die. No, Mr.
Impossible.
Togo to die. It's possible. And then when it starts settling in, you're going to be angry. You're going to be angry for the family did not protect that person enough. You're going to be angry, especially with God, because you say, if God is love, no, why did God take,
why
you know, cause that?
Yeah.
So anger is in everyday life. Another thing with anger, that is only young people. Rudeness, poor interpersonal skills, bullying, and teacher yelling at students. You see that when they have teachers yelling at students? Some teachers may not realize it. Some teachers do not do it deliberately, but a child is doing something bad in your class. You want to teach your class. this child has something pushing on the other one's desk or hitting or kicking the chair and so on. The first thing that comes, behave yourself, leave him alone. Now the child comes to school with all the rage, no breakfast, nothing. Mm-hmm. I tell me, behave myself and you're shouting at me, I'm going to shout back at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The child is not the right thing, but that is what comes out. So all those things trigger. Another thing I want to see, I mentioned the sexual form already.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger, and then you have failure, you have disappointment. Some children, some students in class hate or do dislike other students and their classmates. Why? That student is always getting in the 90s, 100s, and this one is getting 60s, 50s. I cannot reach there.
I cannot reach
there. Oh, teacher's favorite. Yeah. Oh, you're cheating. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then they get angry.
Of course.
Right? So another one again is...
But Mr. Holmes, sorry to cut you off short, but sometimes they may not be angry only with the person, with themselves as well. So that means they're already judging themselves or comparing themselves. Or probably if I had better parents, better... access to the internet, probably don't have internet at home.
Yeah.
Probably naturally they may not be academically inclined as the other person.
Mm.
So they become angry with themselves, thinking that they're not probably good enough to be able to achieve just as the other person. And of course, if they're getting that extra pressure from the teachers at home as well, then that's even worse.
Yeah. Because, you know, the thing is, they're angry with themselves, as you rightly said. Let us take a student who's getting 50s, 60s, or even failing, and then the other student is getting 90s, 100s. This student who's getting the low mark or failing will be angry at the other one. And you'll see mommy's boy, mommy's nice child, or teacher's pet, or you know, that type of thing. But when you really look at it, you bring the student who's failing, ask, what is going on? The student is going to tell you, I don't have space at home to study.
That's it.
I cannot concentrate. We have no lights, or my parents want the lights off by 7 o'clock. Or they think that I'm using my cell phone for this, so they took the cell phone from me. I cannot study. You know, so you got a call or something?
Yes, we have a call.
Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. And good morning to your panel. A nice discussion.
Good morning.
All right. I just have a question from your professionals on the panel regarding the recent incidents of young boys fighting in school, fighting on the street in school uniform. How do you feel, based on what you have already discussed, that the police have handled it in the public? And how do you think things could have been handled differently? Thank you.
Okay, I'm not sure any recent, I'm not sure about the recent happenings.
I believe I know what the caller is speaking about. It happened, I think, probably late last week, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And I saw a video or two about it. I mean, we're not in the position to really comment on how the police handled it. But what I would say is that for whatever reason the students were fighting, and let alone in their uniform, it is rather unfortunate. And in dealing with that situation, I'm hoping that the authorities and the school and parents would allow the children to explain as to what caused them to fight in the first place. And maybe it may relate to what we're speaking about this morning, probably something that has been stirring up for a while, but it has to be addressed in one way or another. There may have been other ways it could have been handled. Again, I'm not sure. I'm not a police officer. I'm not sure the protocol in handling those types of situations. So I'm hoping that probably the chief of police or someone in that regard would be able to comment better on how they handled the situation. But again, our focus is on childhood anger. And for them to have fought in the first place, there must have been some feud, among themselves. So that has to be addressed accordingly.
And again, I'm not privy to this. I'm not sure, what transpired, or even I'm not sure what happened, how the police handled it. But as a former principal, though, I can see when something like this happened, that is one thing I always say to my students, do not get involved in these activities, especially with your school uniform.
Exactly.
Especially because people identify you right away. And they're not even blaming you, you know. They're saying it's the school. You know, the school disciplinary action and so on. Mm-hmm. So again, that is why, you know, when it comes to things like this, dealing with anger and so on, what we usually say is that we usually tell students, you know, that is why counselors are very important. Yeah? And I wish, I don't know if they have, but, you know, even the police officers could get some counseling skills. I know there are a couple of police officers, prison officers, you know, who did the course with me at UWE.
Mm-hmm.
So at least when they bring these students in for fighting and so on, then they can talk to them. Now, counseling is just is not a one-off. You know, it has to keep on going.
That's
with
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Identify what is the root cause, what is causing it. As you said, it may be something that happened last school year.
Yeah, that's been
and then
fueled.
You have to settle it,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And remember what I said, whether a child is 2 years, 3 years. But again, when the child is in first form, second form, when they reach fifth form, they may think they're big now. So what you did to me in first form, I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I have probably back up now.
So we're not sure. I cannot comment on that one, caller. I'm sorry, but I'm not aware of this happening.
Occurrence.
Yeah. Yeah. So another two things I just wanted to mention. This one is very, very, very important. Alcohol and substance abuse. That can lead to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know for a fact that your students would actually go to school and would like to would take a puff, as you would see, before going to school. I know the business places where they go and buy the mint after they take their thing. I mean, I used to address them. I know what they were doing, you know, being a teacher for how many years and principal. They would take it and they would take the mint afterwards so that the teacher would not.
You wouldn't pick up the scent of it.
Mm-hmm. But what I don't realize, you do not take the smell, but it shows. Because you have this, any little thing that happened in the classroom, you're upset, you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to take the smell. Your reaction, your action will tell me.
Exactly.
You know?
And I always say, Mr. Holmes and Edgar, I'm sure you'll agree as well,
mm-hmm.
to every action is a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And with that same situation, with the fighting of the students, lashing out, you know, may have caused that same reaction.
Exactly.
From the police officer as well. I'm not saying that what happened was correct. Again, I'm not sure of the protocol, but that is an example. At home as well, the child is upset. You said something they don't like, they lash out, they react. So to every action is a reaction. We learn that in physics as well. You know, there's that a reaction that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Mr. Holmes, you know, it's something that has to be dealt with through counseling as well.
Yep.
So even though you may think a situation has been dealt with, it has died down, but you never know. Children, they don't forget. So people don't forget.
Yeah.
And they may not have had the strength or the backup at the current time, or may not be able to face you on the school grounds, again, going back, but then out of school, you know, or get somebody else to deal, quote unquote, with their situation for them, because they're probably too small, they're probably too scared, and somebody else lashes out. That person who takes up that mantle now is angry as well, based on what they've heard, and so they pass that on to the individual or individuals.
Yeah. It's interesting. As you know, I gave many stories, and that's a true, well, all my stories are true stories, so I don't have to say that. I can recall, and I think I told you on that last semester, where at a primary school, a young man actually had three bodyguards. Remember I said that? And then what happened is he would pay them every week a certain amount of money, and then he would walk around. Any other student who come, torture him, disturb him, or say anything, he doesn't say a thing. His bodyguards would deal with that
in.
Student.
Wow.
It's amazing, right? But then the thing is, His problem was, if he doesn't get that security from his bodyguards, his anger will be turned on to those bodyguards.
That is true. Mm. That is very true.
So I cannot be giving you a lot of money and then you're not protecting me.
And you're not doing anything. Yeah. You're not protecting me.
So that type of thing. So you see, with children's anger, there's quite a bit. So as you're going on, then we'll be talking about the anger management, how to approach
it. And how they approach it as well.
Yeah.
But before, I know Edgar wants to say something as well. For those who don't know the numbers, I would like to call in. They are 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097. If you're listening abroad, it's 305-432-9624. Or 347-349-7431. You may have had an engagement or situation where you've experienced a child who has that type of emotion and constantly had those outbursts. Probably you had a way of dealing with it in a very civilized manner, in not in any kind of physical altercation, and you can share those tips with us here and to the listening audience.
Exactly.
Because you never know, you may just give another solution, a better and safer solution to deal with whatever you're going through, rather than an option that may either land you in prison or get you arrested or separated, from your loved one. Because, sometimes, Mr. Holmes, what happens in terms of the physical abuse? Let's say you're upset about what your child did.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat the child, or you said something and that the child doesn't like, and the child lashes out at you, whether it is through words or physically, and you react, something goes off, and right there and then, in the heat of the moment, you hit the child, you pick up, an object close by, you hit the child, and then what happens? That blow may hit the child on the head, knock out that child unconsciously, or even do more damage. And then at the end of it, you may regret, you may lose your child, I don't know what may happen. So if you have had a situation, call in where you've dealt with it on a better note, and you can help someone as well. I know Edgar wanted to say something as well.
In regards to what's been happening recently with the violence among children and fighting, I just want to say that children will be children. And when they get mad, they're not especially diplomatic about it. In colloquial terms, they have no Westby in me. That's saying we use in Bagum. When they get angry. But what's disturbing, though, is that we are seeing more and more children seem unable to stop at the ordinary expression of normal expected childhood anger. I mean, I'm shocked by the level of aggressiveness that I've been seeing. I am not used to seeing that. I was once a child,
of course.
A teenager, and we didn't resort to those ways. I mean, there was the word fighting and so on. But what, as Mr. Holmes was making mention of the causes, would I say that is it that children today are immersed in a culture, media culture that tolerates escalating levels of aggression? Is that what's going on? Because when we were young, we watch our share of TV and violence on TV and John Wayne movies and James Bond movies when we were younger. But today, I think young people are exposed to a lot more of violence. It's more graphic on TV. Now you see close-ups of one person beating another person or shooting his victim repeatedly on TV. I mean, now we see children are learning that good people are violent. And I'm thinking, does media violence have a lot to do with childhood anger?
But even in cartoons as well,
just want to mention that.
Yeah.
When you think of the Roadrunner and those little cartoons you used to watch before, and then now, almost everything in the cartoons are violent.
Yeah.
Violence and so on. You mentioned the word aggressive. I just want to, you know, for us to understand even clearly how we're going to approach it, I just want to mention the street lights types of violence.
Okay, so before you continue, Mr. Holmes, we have a call on the line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning. What's up?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, I'm trying to be good.
All right.
And I'm listening to the discussion, which is very good. But we must also remember that the violence sometimes starts at the home.
That's right.
And they end up in school. Now, we have to blame some of the parents for that. Because even when the children cause that type of violence, what type of violence it is, and you go and discuss that to the parent, or the teacher tried to talk to the child, you find some of the parents attack the teacher, which is bad. So that is no example for the next child, seeing that whoever parent that come to the school and dispose that type of behavior.
Most definitely.
Dealt with. No, we have a problem. As soon as they decide that a teacher should not beat a child, that creates a problem. The child believes that she was an adult one time at that time. No, again, we have children making children. And the children that is making the children cannot correct the children. Where you had the elderly who would educate you. Who's your friend? Who's not your friend? Who to come in front of your door? Lao tapin bagaisa, ali mene, vimi, bakunla, kibaoli. But no, whatever you get, you can bring it in the house. Because the mother did not want it before. But no, the mother wants it, no matter how you get it. So that creates a problem. And bringing the violence into the children's minds. Now to a next point. How are we going to solve it? By getting to know the parents through the children that is going to the schools. There, we are going to educate the mother on whatever level. That's why some of them too usually do not come to the meeting. And then they ask somebody, What did my dad say? What did they say? And it's a CC. So at that time, the children, they don't know what to say to the children.
Exactly.
That's another thing we must look onto.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I have been tired advocating on all radio stations for children. Children sport, children this, children that. Now, sports is a therapy. You must be disciplined. Now, if it had sporting facilities, I believe we would have better children and a calm in their mind. But
outlet.
When that go away, it usually frustrates everybody because you have nowhere to go, your mother making noise with you, and instead she tell you, behave yourself, don't do that. She tell you in your behave yourself.
Verbal abuse.
Ah, eyelash in you, eyelash in you. So she take a bomb with her pot. Anything, and she knocks you down.
Right.
You know within that time what is happening. You grew with that violence in your mind.
Exactly.
And it's because of your mother you could not hit her back. What you're saying, if it was somebody else, your experience I'm talking about, if it was somebody else, you don't hit them back, you know. So now you grow with that and you have nobody to educate you about that. So what I can advise some of my friends and whoever, when you fall short into problem, because that is what that is happening to me at this present moment, and I believe anybody will defeat me, because why? I really need to stay calm and try to take 10 minutes or 15 minutes within the fight to refresh your mind, and that's how you're going to get away. But otherwise, if we don't take care, in closing, if we don't take care of the children, teach them properly in the school, know about their parents, know about which family they live in by, if it's Mr. Crook that, or if it's Uncle Crook that have them like that. My brother, if we don't do that, Mr. Holmes, you know who's speaking, as the man in the block. Any time we don't do that, we are going to finish. Period. And just give me a little moment in closing to just say something. Okay? I appreciate that. I am now calling on those in authority that there is, just we're talking about children, we are talking about by St. Martin School. I know they are listening. There is some garbage that come from the area that is in the corner there that need to come out. And Solid Waste said that they'll not take it out. This one said they'll not take it out. But for the children's sake, please, I'm calling on the parent, Mary, sir, to pass Virgin Lane and see the volume of rubbish that is there. And please send a truck to clear it. And after that, you can put a sign. Anybody throwing that type of rubbish in Virgin Lane should be prosecuted. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Well said. I must say, I don't recall her well. You know, we worked at school. And I've known him at school. And what he said is so true. And not only that, you know, he preempted, because some of the things he gave us, some of the techniques I'll be giving later on. And, you know, all he mentioned there, you know, so true, as I said. And then just before him, before he said that, before he confirmed what I'm going to say there, let me just say it. I was talking about the streetlight types of anger. We have what we call aggressive. It's a red label type of aggression, anger. You have the yellow, the amber, which is called the passive. Mm-hmm. And then you have the assertive, which is green. So these are the streetlights colors. Okay. You don't have streetlights in Dominica, but mm-hmm. we would know that. Mm-hmm. Now, in the aggressive part, that is the part that is really overwhelmed in our schools. Mm-hmm. Where students, you know, you're in the classroom, and you can know by the things they say or the things they do. You as a teacher, the principal, or somebody passing by, let's say there's a teacher or not a teacher in the classroom, mm-hmm. you hear, shut up, get lost. And, you know, they have all kind of things. Mm-hmm. These are how they have been aggressive. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if they have been nonverbal, that's the verbal one. The nonverbal, they're finger pointing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're glaring at you, they're clearing their throats. It's like, if you only know what I can do to mm-hmm. you now, it's like a threat.
It's processing in some way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now we have the passive. The passive says it by itself. The verbal, I'm sorry to have tell you this, but at the same time, I'm happy I said it. Right? What can you do about it? Or, please don't get angry or upset with me for saying this, because it is true. That is the passive, you know. Or sometimes you bite in your tongue because you want to say that, but you don't want to offend the other or get into trouble. Mm-hmm. Looking away or looking down. You fold your arms. You say something softly. They don't even hear what you see. Now, the one we really want from our children is the assertive one, the greenish color. Where the verbal, you say to the person, instead of saying, I hate you, mm-hmm. you can tell the person, no, that is not easy, because people are going to say, come on, that's childish. But it's not, you know, if you really take it properly. I feel the way you said that, you know, you hit me and this and that. I am angry about, you're telling the person why you're angry. No, I would like you to, you know, think about it before you hit me next time, that type of thing. The non-verbal, you look at the person, but non-invasive manner, eye contact. You know, sometimes people give you court eyes, mm-hmm. and you know what court eyes can do. So for the assertive, do not use that type of court eyes. Let your voice be something where you're inviting the person to say something. Yeah. I disagree that you hit me, you know, but you should not.
Exactly.
You know, what do you have to say about it? So these are the things we have to look at. So when we look at those types, you know, in training, teachers should be able to identify these.
That's right.
You know, so mm-hmm. when you enter a classroom, you hear a child shout, shut up. Honestly, there's some teachers, right? Maybe I did that when I was a teacher myself. Mm-hmm. When you hear them say, shut up, you respond by saying, what do you say there? Well, you yourself, shut up.
Yeah, but
it's not going to work. It's not going to help, you know? But if you look at the person and say, excuse me, what did I hear you? You know, what caused you? What's going on
what
here?
What triggered,
you know,
this reaction?
And then they'll tell you. And then the person may say, well, that's what my mother will tell it to me, you know, or my father. And then you can see that is coming from her. Just like the caller
exactly.
said a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, it starts
from
at home.
Mm-hmm.
So when the child comes from home, in all that commotion, all that violence, all that abuse, and you enter the classroom, and you see the student who's getting 100, and then you get in the 50 coming at you and telling you something. The student may be telling you something very nice, but for you, what is going on in my life now? I don't worry about you.
Exactly.
You are the princess, you're the king in the classroom, leave me alone. Right? And then the anger builds up. So in our training, we need to know what is going on, what is being said, and how we approach it.
Definitely. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will address techniques, ways of handling, and how Mr. Holmes, in his experience, has dealt with various situations like this.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
Welcome back. And if you're now tuning in, you're listening to Health Vibes. And we've had a very engaging show thus far, focusing on the childhood anger. And what we must always remember is that when we experience that type of emotion, even as children, there are health effects from that type of emotion. So Edgar went through, you know, briefly what happens when you have uncontrolled anger. You have palpitations, your palms start sweating, your body kicks in that fight or flight mode, and unfortunately, many times our fight mode gets the upper hand, so we physically engage with another individual. Sometimes we, or children, may fall into depression, and that in itself can affect your entire system negatively. So it's almost like a domino effect that happens, and you may not realize it, but sometimes a child may develop certain types of conditions, and that may also be as a result of all that is going on inside of them and that anger that they've been experiencing. We have a caller on the line. Let me just take it quickly. Good morning to you, caller.
Good morning, Ms.
Good morning.
Egan.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning to Mr. Holmes.
Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I would like to share a little thing there with you all.
Okay.
I happened to go on a bus sometime this week, and when I entered, there was a lady there with a child of preschooler. A few minutes after the bus stop, it picked up another child, a young toddler, and as soon as the child entered in the bus, child must have had a little lollipop. You want the preschooler pull it from the child. So I heard the mother saying, "Why do you do that? Don't take the child's lollipop. Give it to me," and give back to the child and said, "Behave yourself. Don't do that to people." And that child became angered. Man, you could see the child was a preschooler, you know. Furious, man. And the child put the fist a sort of a way, like, you know, when you're ready to fight. I said, my God. Teacher started fighting, kicking up the glass. While the man is driving, the driver is driving and kicking up the glass and rolling the motorbike across and shaking her up. And I said, my God. So I spoke to him. I said, my boy, take it.
Wow. I can imagine. So you, right there and then, you can already tell that for some reason that child has been experiencing some type of age, right? Yes, at that young age, have been experiencing, you know, certain episodes at home, and then how it's dealt with, you know, will direct how the child would be able to handle being told, no, you cannot do this, you cannot have this. So again, that's just an indication. But just quickly, I mean, our time is going rather quickly, but what we'll do for the next 15 minutes is examine techniques and how best it is to handle those types of situations, and then Mr. Holmes in the end will, you know, let the public know if they need to contact him or a certain institution if you need help. But Edgar will take the floor from there.
Okay, so before Mr. Holmes explores the techniques needed, I just want to say, as it relates to what we have discussed and what Mr. Holmes and the previous caller did discuss, I mean, we must agree that our kids' most influential role models for handling anger are the grown-ups that they are in with, day in and day out. And that's usually their parents or their guardians. But the kind of parent, caring adult guidance that helps children learn to manage their anger requires a very healthy investment of time. And that's something that seems to be increasingly scarce, a very scarce resource in our society where everyone is busy. It's not time. We want to think that quality time with our children is enough. But what we have been seeing is that quantity of time is more crucial and very crucial in promoting children's emotional growth. Also, I believe that we need to teach our children to be empathetic. And we are living in a society where people are increasingly becoming less empathetic. So we have to teach children to empathize with others. Like when children are fighting, we try to be able to feel another child's pain. That child has to be able to want to feel that child's pain in order to stop hitting that child. So that when they are angry, so that's where empathy comes in.
Okay, good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning to the panel, Mr. Holmes.
Good morning.
Shannon.
Jacinta.
Yes.
Jacinta, sorry. And I want to say that, you know, that Edgar speaks very, very little since I know him as, you know, as a friend, you know, but he has a big voice. And I want to hope that, you know, that even on the return of Carlton, that he be made a permanent feature of, you know, Jolly's Hell Vibes. Because
I agree.
He has a brush of fresh air, man.
He does.
You know, he is Jolly's Our Health, that program has been running about two and a half years, I think,
right,
about that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in all honesty, he is, you know, a breath of fresh air. And I pray that, you know, that on the return of Carlton, that he remain as a permanent feature on the program. You know?
That's right. I hope Carlton
very much
is listening.
Thank you for that contribution. And we just want to grow from strength to strength.
That's it. Thank you so much, Carlton. Yeah. But yes, Mr. Holmes, I know you want to go through the techniques quickly.
Yeah, okay. The thing is, Edgar Mollis, you know, summarized to some extent what I'm going to say. Eh? And then he spoke about quantity and quality, those two there, very
That's
important.
It.
And he also mentioned something, Jacinta, I'm sure you'll agree with him, empathetic, not sympathy, empathy. Try to put yourself in the person's shoes to understand where they're coming from. We have to try to understand where the young people are coming from, what is causing the anger, and how we can address it. And one of the things, I'm not going to mention all of them, but one of the things I would like to see is to work with the young people, the teenagers, the toddlers, even the toddlers themselves, you know, in their own language. Ask them a few questions. Let me just mention one of them. Where does this anger come from? So if now the mother has this young man who's, you know, snapping at her all the time, the mother may ask, but all of a sudden, where is this coming from now? And the child, if the mother is being abused, the child may say, well, I don't like when daddy is doing that to you. I don't like when whoever is doing that to you. So you know that it is at home, right? Or you can ask the child to ask herself or himself the question, am I reacting to hurt, loss, or fear? Try to find out which one is causing it, right? Am I communicating effectively? Because as I said about the withdrawn, they may not want to say anything to you, but they're hurting. So we have to try to find the correct question to ask them. Now, what are some of the things that we can do? Understand that feeling extremely angry is often a distressing experience for a teenager. I mean, try to understand, when a teenager is really angry, that is not a nice thing. You know, as an adult, we are angry, and we think like lifting up the table, we think like doing all this. So just imagine, we adults, we expect to control our anger, but these young people, after they do what they have to do, see what they have to see, then you may tell them control. Then you put them in a space, you know, tell them time off and so on. Go and think about it. But that cannot work. You have to prepare them for when they get angry or when they get in angry.
But even so, not to cut you short, if the child is under punishment, because what you hear most of the time, Mr. Holmes, is that, I don't know why they beat me.
Exactly.
And they get angry. So I think it is important, like you rightfully said, is to communicate. You are being punished, or this is being taken away from you because you did this, you did that. And you have been warned about it. We spoke about this before, but you continuously disobey. You understand? Exactly. So at least they know why, at least they are being punished.
Because I just want to add something to that. Because he said, communicate to him or her that he or she is in charge of what he or she does, the action from the anger, right? But he must bear the consequences. First thing you have to tell the child, you have to let the child know that I am correcting you, I am helping you because I love you,
I
care for you, right? And then that is why I'm doing it. If I don't, I would not like to see that you go to do it to another adult out there or to a child. So let them know. And let them know that when you do those acts, when you say those things, there are consequences.
There are consequences to your action, yes.
Yeah. You know, there are consequences. It's just like fighting on the streets with your uniform. I mean, the school has every right to take action. I'm not sure what the police did, what the school did, right? But I can recall my time at school, where I had to discipline a couple of boys. And then I don't know if people can remember, there was one incident, it went viral for weeks. You know, there's something that happened to students, you know, in Virgin Lane, where one student was beat by about, you know, two or three other boys, right? No, you have to let them know, yes, you may be angry, but you cannot do that to somebody else. There will be consequences. Another thing, again, you have to know that when the young person is angry, you know, you're living in the same place with them. Don't, when they do what they have to do, see what they have to do, don't just leave them on their own. You know, let them know, okay, we'll talk about it later. Just like the classroom. In the classroom, there's an outburst. The teacher goes quietly to the child and say, I did it a number of times. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, they continued. But you let them know, we'll talk about it later. Or you set them in a safe place, at the principal's office, to somewhere where they can be monitored. Do not leave them on their own, right? And then you tell them, we'll discuss it later. Another thing that you can do, there's two things you call distance and distract. get physically away, help the child to get physically away from what is causing that distress. Give the person another space. So if there's a problem in the classroom, get them away from each other. Don't say, go back to your seat and then we'll talk about it. The moment they go back to their seat, it has not been solved.
No.
They're going to continue. And then distract, get the child to do something else. Mm-hmm. You know, we have in counseling what we call play therapy. A child can tell you a lot of things that is going on in his or her life by playing with toys, playing with certain elements, and they can tell you. I can recall in one of my play therapy sessions, there was something happening at home. I came and then I had dolls, I had little soldiers, I had ball and so on, I had a racket. I put all this on the floor, right? And I sat down with the child, a boy. The boy picked up one soldier and one doll. What the child was doing, using the soldier to beat the doll. Guess what? He was showing me how his father is beating his mother. The child did not tell me anything, but his actions through play therapy.
Exactly.
So that's another thing. Give them the boundaries. You know, if they are being verbally or physically abusive, move away and let them know that you will be back. Right? You leave them there, and then sometimes there are students who actually swear at teachers. We all know that. They swear at their mother. And by the way, something that was said earlier on is so true. Like the mothers swearing at their children. I've said that a number of times. I did something when I was vice principal at a school. I can call the school because it was something good. In fact, I'm not. And then a mother came, and the mother is watching a grade one student. The student was about 5 years. Me, I have nothing else to do with, you know, I cannot this and that. I looked at the mother, the only thing that would come out, and I don't know if I regret it, you know, and I said, well, maybe you should go to jail.
Wow.
No, that's all. That was my response. Because you cannot be hitting the child in front of every other children, humiliating the child, and tell the child, I have nothing to do with you, I give up on you and this and that. You know? So that's what came out. After that, I spoke with the mother, of course, you know, but still, we have to tell them, okay, we'll talk about it. Go there and then let us think about it. Another thing again, Edgar mentioned the emphasize, so I'm not going to go through it. And, you know, you really need to do that. You have to let them know that you understand, or you're trying to understand what they're going through. What is causing that?
The roots.
And then, finally, I just want to give a few tips to look for how to inform your teenagers on ways to control anger. Let them find out the psychological or physiological signs. And then Edgar mentioned it earlier, fight or flight. That's very important. Take inventory of the emotions that can result in anger. What is triggering it? What is starting it? You know, if you're getting 100 all the time, I'm getting 60, and then you come and then you pass by me, and then you say, I get 100. What did you get today? I'm going to get angry.
Yeah.
So if you know this person is going to call you, tell the teacher, tell him or tell her, leave me alone.
Leave me alone, please.
Right? So the teacher will come and say, well, that is not a nice thing to
I
do,
know.
And so on. He said, help him try to get 100.
That's right.
You know, that type of thing. So we take inventory. So when somebody gets angry all the time, what is leading to that anger and how we can prevent it from happening? Acknowledge and accept that anger can be a normal thing. Anger is normal, right? But we have to know how to handle it. If you're going to use it to be abusive, to hurt others, it is not normal. But anger will always come. We have differences in life. People will be different, you know? Watch out for the signs when you're getting out of control. And Edgar, I think, you know, alluded to that. Or was it you, Jacinta? I put it this way, where you have to count to 10. Maybe it was, you know, relaxation techniques. You know,
definitely.
The child is really, take a deep breath. Give the child some water, take a deep breath. Count to 5, count to 10, and
relax.
Then let us talk.
Yes.
You know, by the time the child reaches 10, maybe he's still angry. Let's go again, another 5. Relax yourself, we'll talk. You know, let us try to see how we can address that. But if you go out and tell the child, come on, a big boy like you, a big girl like you.
Relax yourself.
Fuck, yeah. Big boys don't cry. Believe me. the Mobic boys that cried and beat girls. Okay. Eh? Mm. So I'm not going through that one. The two more I want to give, and that's it from me. Ask for support.
Yeah, actually.
Find a counselor. Find a teacher who cares. Find a friend whom you can trust, that you can talk to. Right? So I'm not sure if I'm going to... am I allowed to advertise my profession?
Oh, yes,
find a counselor. Find a counselor, somebody. You know, we have other schools, we have pastoral care coordinators. Mm-hmm. Talk to them in the school, talk to the school counselor, even the principal, because principals should also be trained to listen to students also, and also listen to their teachers. So both of them will come to the principal. So the last thing is, I said about the breathing technique. Yes. So the last one is very important. People say that you are mad, meaning self-talk is very important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Boy, I feel like hitting you, you know, you walk away. Mm-hmm. Or if surely you know what I could do, eh? You're walking, you're talking to yourself, you know? So self-talk is very important. That will not say that you're mad. So in closing, I would like to see parents, teachers, give the students space. Let them realize that they're getting angry. Find out what is causing them to get angry. Find out the causes, and then help them identify ways that they can address it.
Very nice. You couldn't have said it better. And, you know, I hope that the listeners this morning were able to take all of what we discussed today, internalize it, and realize that we are there for the children. They depend on us for care, for support, for guidance. And if we as adults do not guide them through, help them to channel their anger in a more subtle way, in a more calmer, you know, way than just physically or verbally abusing somebody else, then trust me, the health of our children and us as adults will flourish. Mm-hmm. You understand? But it's one to help one. And as Edgar said, you know, empathizing, mm-hmm. you know, helping and putting yourself in the person's shoes, as you rightfully said. So, I mean, I want
one
to...
One more thing, the last
go
thing
ahead.
I just mm-hmm. want to say is... We all know it. Prevention is better than cure.
Definitely.
Before, bring up your child. Don't wait until the child is 5 years to start training your child.
Of course.
Yeah.
Start telling the child the positive, the negative, what can lead to anger and so on. In their own language, in their own
That's
way.
That's right.
You know? So do not wait until they start getting angry. And next thing you have to go on a Saturday, on a Thursday or Monday at the prisons to visit them. No. You know? Help them before. Tell them how to behave themselves, how to maintain a good family values.
Of course.
Yeah.
That it's okay to get angry, as you said, but it's how you deal with your anger.
So, in closing, I just want to see somebody WhatsApp me, they did not want to call. Maybe they're shy to Andrew and all these years of the introduction to counseling and advanced introduction to counseling. They were listening.
Okay, very nice. Okay. But I know Edgar wants to have his closing remarks.
Well, I just want to leave us with a scripture that I'm not sure if we're. Some of us may, a lot of us may be familiar with it. Ephesians chapter 4, 26-27, mm-hmm. which says, Paul wrote in his letter, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Mm-hmm. First of all, we must make it clear that Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, is not saying that we cannot ever get angry. Anger is a natural human emotion, as Mr. Holmes said, and it's neither good or bad. It's a natural response to perceived threats. But the problem is what we do with the anger when we feel it. Some people go in a shell and get quiet, some scream and break things, and some people say harsh and mean things. So I just want to say, where do we draw the line? You know, and we have the experts. Mr. Holmes is there, a very, very distinguished and expert counselor that you can talk to, and there are other counselors around the island. There's Mrs. Jacinta Figan Defoe as well, who is a student of Mr. Holmes, and she is quite versed as well as a pharmacist.
She
so she is. So
thank you.
There are people that you can talk to, and you have the support.
Thank you so very much, Edgar. Inspiring as always, Mr. Holmes. Such valuable information. We really, really appreciate you coming on air with us today to shed light on childhood anger, how it is addressed, the best ways to address it, and the causes of it. Hopefully, we will be able to have you on with us on another area.
Anytime.
So thank you so very much.
You're
and
welcome.
For those listening, I hope that it was very informative. If you have any questions, you can feel free to call in Jollies, and if Mr. Holmes gives us the permission to give out his contact
right.
information
right
as well.
You have it.
Yes. So have a wonderful day and enjoy the rest of your week. God bless to everyone.